Yeah, I know the big debate was last night. We'll talk about that tomorrow. I'll explain why in just a moment. But for today, I've got several other important items to share.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Have you forgotten how it felt that day?
It looked like
to see your homeland under fire and her people blown away. We had neighbors still inside, going through a living hell. And you say we shouldn't worry about Bin Laden. Have you forgotten?
And I welcome you to the Wednesday edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. It's hard to believe that it was 23 years ago today that many of us woke up to one of the greatest surprises and shocks of our life. Now, I'm not going to get into any of the whodunits or theories or any of that, just the aftermath of what actually did occur that day 23 years ago, and some of the aftermath that we are dealing with today. 23 years ago, it was a Tuesday, so I recall, and I got up. I was the pastor of a small mission church, and we were beginning to get some traction. Didn't have our own building yet. I was actually planning on meeting somebody on the 12th of September about a possible church building that was for sale, even though it was kind of out of our price bracket. And that day, I was doing some work for a local radio station group. I subsidized my ministry income by working part-time as a broadcast engineer. At that time, I was living in Venice, Florida, and my church was just north in Sarasota. And so that day I got up, it was just like I say, a Tuesday morning, and I got an early start, and I'm driving up from Venice to Sarasota, listening to one of our news talk radio stations just to catch up on the news of the day. And there was this story that broke into that morning news that some kind of an aircraft had hit one of the World Trade Centers. Now, at first, I really wasn't alarmed because the newscasters were thinking maybe it was a private plane or some kind of a commuter aircraft in distress. Who knows? And so the morning continued for a little while longer as I'm driving to Sarasota. And then the word came about the second plane hitting the World Trade Center. And obviously there's something wrong with this picture. Something is happening that is not normal. And people are already using terms like America under attack. What could this be? I got to the radio station in about 20, 25 minutes. It was a fairly good drive that morning. And got in there. And of course, everybody's in panic mode. What has just happened in the United States? And remember, on that very day in Sarasota at the Booker Elementary School, was President George W. Bush announcing his No Child Left Behind program and reading to some elementary school class. And we've all seen the video of one of his staff whispering in his ear that something had happened. And he continued a little while longer until the next whispering in the ear, and then suddenly he left. I can remember the sound of Air Force One as it took off from the Sarasota Bradenton Airport. We were close by. That thing screamed out. Now, as I say, I'm not going to get into who did it, who done it. There's a lot of very credible theories out there. Did we know it was going to happen? Were we involved with what happened? Well, you know, there's still a lot to that story that I don't know. I have some suspicions as I look back now and I look at the likes of Dick Cheney, who now endorses Kamala Harris. So I really question that man's integrity. I don't think he has any. He and his daughter have zero integrity in my book. They're chameleons that run around making money off war, the war machine, and globalist. And so he was the big advisor, and what was his name? They called him George Bush's brain, and suddenly his name escapes me. He and his little silly whiteboards. As far as I'm concerned, a political has been and should never have been. And I look back over those years, and what I believe then and what I'm realizing now, the disaster that we have created as a result of what happened on 9/11. 23 years ago. Have we gotten any smarter? No, we're dumber today than we ever were back then. Have we learned anything? No. It's still the same globalists. It's still the same spooks in your intelligent apparatus that are screwing the world up. Let's be blunt about it. Let's be honest about it. Did America become united again? Look at us today compared to 23 years ago. We are worse off today, spiritually, politically, neighbor to neighbor, than we were 23 years ago today. How long did the Congress of the United States stay so unified like they did the day they stood on the Capitol steps, just all in unison? They were at each other's throats in a matter of days. Reprobates, disgusting, freaky individuals, and this is what we have running our government. A freak show of globalists and moneymakers, phonies and frauds on both sides of the aisle, a uniparty at best. You know, when I went into emergency management, it's a long story on that, hard to believe, and I'll add this little thought. 23 years ago, I never would have believed that exactly 3 years later, my beloved wife would collapse and enter into a coma and pass away from brain cancer. She had fought breast cancer that became lung cancer, and 3 years later, she had that collapse. We never would have thought that at that time. And so it was a strange world for me right after 9/11. One of the ironies of 9/11 is the negotiation on that church building I mentioned just a few moments ago changed dramatically. The individual I was to meet was on one of the last planes, if not the last planes, to be allowed to land in Tampa, Florida, before they shut down all air traffic. He was coming back from a vacation in Italy. And suddenly the price of that church building that this individual happened to have purchased with other ideas for the land became a huge reality for us. As the years went by, how many of you, let's be honest, if you remember, I certainly do, the war on terror. Now, I understood even before 9/11 some of the dangers of radical Islam. I've understood that. But you want to notice something that as we went by, as the years moved forward, you couldn't talk about that anymore. Suddenly that was, you know, verboten. You can't talk about Islamic terrorism. It's now a man-made disaster. I mean, I worked in emergency management and I was watching the lexicon change every day. All of a sudden, what you could say before, you cannot say now. And they were getting serious about it. Now, you'd be threatening getting grants from the federal government if you didn't abide by their new, more fair and equitable language. This nonsense was coming out right after Barack Obama got into office. I helped plan one of the last terror-type drills, large one, I might add, too. And those things just don't happen anymore. In other words, the globalists got their mileage out of 9/11. a lot of freedom-loving Americans really believe, like I did, in trying to save our nation. And a lot of us were snookered, I'll admit, by the likes of George W. Bush and Dick Cheney and company. All of them, they lied. We end up in a war in Afghanistan. We end up in a war in Iraq that had nothing to do with 9/11. And many people, and I think they're credible, I can't verify who did it. Who was really behind it? I've read the material. And I'll be honest, because I try to be as fair as I can and as accurate as I can. I don't jump on everything. I've got my suspicions. And for now, I'll keep them to myself. But suffice it to say that I've learned one thing in 23 years. Do not trust the lying, filthy government we have here in the United States. You have in Canada. You have in the United Kingdom. You have in Germany. All across the UK. You're being lied to. The globalists have infected and just have moved in like a cancer to take away your freedom. And you look at these pitiful people like Mitch McConnell. Yeah, really good conservative from Kentucky. He's a liar. He's a fake. He's a phony. He's a fraud. When the push comes to shove, he'll do what the globalists want. He always has and always will. He's a fraud. A stinking, filthy fraud. And I'm done with them. Jeb Bush trying to ride in the coattails of his brother, another globalist. And there's the Bush family and the Cheney family all gathering around Kamala Harris. What kind of concern? You're not conservatives. You're globalist pigs. You're scum. I've had it with you people. You are the reason there was a 9/11. And just like FDR knew about the impending attack at Pearl Harbor, you knew a lot more about what was going to happen that morning. While George W. Bush was safely ensconced at an elementary school in Florida, our world changed. No, I haven't forgotten at all. I can remember the horror of watching those buildings come down. I was thinking then that it wasn't that long before, like not quite 30 years before. I was sitting in a classroom at St. John's University in New York, and I could see from this one classroom, looking toward the west, watching those World Trade Center buildings climb into the sky. I can remember what the skyline looked like the many, many, many times that I flew into New York City. And if you had the correct approach, you could see Manhattan, the World Trade Center, sometimes even the Statue of Liberty, and the Verrazano Narrows Bridge. And I think back now, I can think of that night, 9/11. Hard to believe. 23 years ago, my father called me on the telephone, and he didn't know what to think. He had served in the United States Marines back in World War II, a very talented individual, very smart individual. But he was looking for spiritual guidance, even though he was a man of faith. Just, what do I think? Being that I'm in ministry now. And at that point, I said, I don't know what to think. And I was hesitant when people would ask me, is this like the beginning of the tribulation? Is this? And I'm going, I don't know. People in Hawaii thought it could have been in 1941 on that December 7th morning, that Sunday. People in Poland would have thought that in 1939. You can go through history, the Black Plague. You can look at a lot of things that people could think, is this triggering it? And if you're intellectually honest, where were we a couple of years later after the events of 23 years ago? Were we as a nation better off? Nope, we were more divided than ever. The globalists succeeded. They got their moment. They got their Patriot Act put through by a treasonous president and vomitous vice president, phony, fraud, you know, the kind of guy that shoots his friends in the face and stabs America in the back, just like his daughter. Yeah. America was under attack. But I also remember a cartoon strip from many, many decades ago, Pogo. And those immortal words, we have met the enemy, and he is us. How much more divided are we today than we were 23 years ago on September 11th, 2001? Are we more unified? Are we more solidified? Did all those people that came running back to church thinking the world is coming to an end, did they stay? How many left? How many denominations that people came to gather in prayer and candlelight vigils and all of it? How many of them abandoned the faith once delivered when things calmed down? And how many of those churches became apostate and spit and cursed in the face of Christ, as they do today? No, I haven't forgotten. And as long as God gives me breath, I never will forget. I cared for my nation that day. And let me just share this one little side note. I mentioned at the time I lived in Venice, Florida. Little house, small neighborhood in a place called Venice Gardens. It had been built way back when. Early retirement homes, I think, you know, little two-bedroom houses in these little neighborhoods built in the 60s and 70s. And it was in there's a little airport on Venice Island. They call it an island. They actually just kind of dredged out the river around it to make it an island. There's an airport right there in the Gulf of Mexico. And depending upon the wind direction, we can be in the flight path. Now, it's a private airfield, so mostly just single-engine Cessnas and Pipers come in and out of there. But there was a little company at that airport that trained people how to be pilots, including learning jet aircraft. Now, they didn't have a big 757 or 7 whatever. They didn't have any of the large aircraft, but they had these smaller two-engine private-type jets, and their operations are very similar. The news people made it very clear that one of the people piloting one of the aircrafts, name was Muhammad Atta. Hard to believe that he was living just a few miles from where I was living. And he was allegedly practicing how to maneuver a jet aircraft, taking lessons at that airport. And according to the news reports, and sometimes to this day I have to wonder about accuracy from our government, I'm learning to be very untrusting. I really am. Because I keep catching them in lie after lie after lie. But we were told then, and I'll mention it now, that Muhammad Atta trained out of that little airport. And I can remember my wife had said back in July and even into August, there are times that I'd be working out of my office at the house because we didn't have a church building yet. We had a shared arrangement and planning my work for engineering. I did a lot of travel. There was an abnormally high number of takeoff and landings of these small jets, and you couldn't help but hear it. That flight school, I think, ended up being closed. But I've just come to think, I don't know what to think. My heart breaks at here. I'll turn 70 next month. And I was raised in such a way, growing up, I was very fortunate to go to a Christian school from kindergarten through the eighth grade, or almost the entirety of the eighth grade. We moved to a small town in upstate New York, and I completed my education in a public school, but stayed active in my church body. I was raised to love and worship God, to love my neighbor as myself. I was raised with compassion. And believe it or not, sometimes you may hear me angry, but I really am a very loving and compassionate person. I just have lost my toleration for liars and frauds. I have no time to suffer fools, as I mentioned on yesterday's broadcast. I have no time. The world has no time. I have no time for liars. I have no time for people that misrepresent themselves. I have no time for people that are trying to destroy the faith once delivered to the saints, destroy our children, destroy our nation, and take away your freedoms. I've lost my patience. Yeah, I guess I've become that old dude, you know, get off my lawn kind of guy. Really, I'm not. But the world of the past 23 years has pushed me there. I can remember looking at my late wife. It was probably a day or two after 9/11. And all those congresspeople, all the congressmen, there was those pictures, and they're all there unified and singing God Bless America or something or whatever. And some of those same people that looked so loving America are now cursing it and cursing you. Trying to steal elections. Yeah, it's not Trump that tried to steal it. Trust me on that. People like, you know, Jerry Nadler. Yeah, God bless America. Sorry. He's the kind of person that's going to bring damnation on America. How far have we come since September 11th, 2001? A long way from where we were, and not a place we need to be. That much I can tell you with certainty. My heart breaks for how this nation was deceived, lied to, manipulated. I look back now at much of what happened in the wake of that, all using 9/11 for, you know, we need a Department of Homeland Security. I can remember saying something about even the name bothered me. It sounded like something that would come out of 1935 Germany. Or 1925 Russia under the Soviet Union. Or North Korea today. It didn't feel right. And yet I'm looking and listening to these so-called experts. And then we got lied to and ended up, how many Americans needlessly died in places that used to be stable that we destabilized? Who really funded 9/11? And who were the big winners in the aftermath? That's the question that I'm working hard to get an answer to this day. We have a break coming up in just a moment, and I'm not going to take too long on this. I saw a quick story that I mentioned my work in emergency management. And I learned how to work with a lot of NGOs, non-government organizations, in partnership when you have disasters. One of those groups that I worked a lot with was the Red Cross back then. And 23 years ago, a member of my church in Florida was a very active volunteer. I mean, upper level volunteer of the Red Cross. She has since passed away, she and her husband. And I can tell you that it was about 13 years ago, maybe 12, 13 years ago. working with a local chapter of our American Red Cross. There was a gal that who is the liaison that I dealt with in emergency management. She was a good Christian girl. And she knew that I was a man of faith. I also sometimes acted as a chaplain when necessity required it. And one day I happened to be coming down the street where their office was, and I decided to pull in and just say hello. We did that a lot, just, you know, to keep, let people know that, you know, we are, you know, still talking with each other. And she looked at me and she said, it's funny you would come by here today, Bob. I need to tell you something. I'm getting ready to turn in my resignation and leave. And I said, why? She said, there's a bad feeling that's creeping into the Red Cross at the national level. It hasn't hit our offices yet, but I can smell it, sense it, feel it in the writings and the subtle changes. She said, the worst elements of the left and the ungodly are going to eventually be running this organization. An American Red Cross volunteer, longtime volunteer, was fired because he had posted a few conservative memes on his private Facebook page. The guy's name is Zach Scherer, and he wrote on Facebook, I was relieved of all my duties with the Red Cross because they have concerns about my social media platform. I've been a recruiter and a disaster response worker with the Red Cross for nearly 6 years. Until I was terminated on August the 27th of this year. He said his volunteer status had been revoked due to concerns. You know, he didn't write anything that bad. He just shared some real truth. He never posted anything about the Red Cross or even his affiliation with the organization, didn't even acknowledge it. In fact, most people that ever read his Facebook page had no idea that he was a volunteer with the Red Cross. But see, the Red Cross, like many other NGOs after 9/11, have been infiltrated by the worst vermin. I'll use that term. I know the left hates it. The worst vermin the United States has ever thrown up and barfed up. If I were you, I wouldn't give a penny to the American Red Cross anymore. They have been co-opted, like many other once great organizations. I've got a lot more to share, and I'm going to kind of help you understand how the left has co-opted terminology and organizations, and how you need to be prepared for what's coming next.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
As Truth to Ponder begins its fifth year of ministry, we enter a new era of programs and purpose. Since our inception in the summer of 2020, we have endeavored to bring you accurate and vital news and information. We have worked diligently to expose the political bias and the many lies being told by mainstream media, government officials, social media, and tech giants. Many of the stories we have shared over the past 4 years were once labeled as conspiracy theories. Today, those stories have proven true. Did those who lied to you ever apologize or acknowledge their lies? The answer is obvious. They haven't, and they won't. We are now entering one of the most critical times in the history of our world. Artificial intelligence can monitor much of what we do and say online and report it to both the government and private corporations. Artificial intelligence can create false but convincing propaganda narratives in all forms of media at lightning speed, including video and audio. Sorting truth from propaganda is getting harder to do each day. As part of our new emphasis in these historic times, Truth to Ponder will be partnering with other ministries and news sources to increase the amount of factual and needed information you must have in these troublesome times. To meet this challenge, we will vastly increase our efforts to put all of today's events and news stories in the light of God's world. We will be developing study resources and a platform that does not depend on the internet for delivery. We also pray to increase our radio footprint throughout North America and beyond. To meet this new challenge and to grow, we need your prayerful support now more than ever. Would you let others know about this program? Would you be a monthly partner with us? If you can, visit our website at truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. At our website, you can find out how to support us using Give, Send, Go, a Christian online donation processing organization. That website again, truth2ponder.com. You can also support us by making a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. That's Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia 24319. Once again, make the check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, spelled C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowie, Virginia, zip code 24319. That's 24319. May God richly bless you as you help us spread the truth the world needs to hear.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you back to part two of our Wednesday edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Just a couple of quick things to share. I want you to know that when you write to me, I really do read what you write. I may not, and because of what I've been through these past many months, time is not my greatest commodity. We went through a period of time with a lot of stuff to deal with the bladder cancer and between surgeries and immunotherapies and trying to do the radio show every day and then being prepared for church and other opportunities. It's rough. And so I apologize if I seem like I don't catch up. I saw an interesting letter the other day from a friend that lives in Wisconsin who may end up being down in Florida and has an electronics background. Yeah, I really do hope to catch up with that individual. Honestly, I do. God is opening up so many doors of things, and there's going to be a lot of help needed. I'm excited that things for the local radio station here in Southwest Virginia are coming together. And I've got kind of a goal. Whether I hit it or not, I don't know. But I told my wife, wouldn't it be neat if for my 70th birthday, my biggest birthday gift would be that radio station being on the air. And I'm working toward that end. It's taking a lot financially to do it. If you'd like to help, by the way, the station will be online 24/7. I'm even considering an app. And for those that even use smart speakers, yeah, you'll be able to ask your smart speaker if you have the right service. It'll be able to play the radio station for you. So I'm working on that. God has been gracious to me, and I'm thankful beyond words. Now, the reason I'm not talking about the debate from last night, because of my recording schedule and because I can't be recording radio shows at 2 o'clock in the morning to be ready for 7 a.m. first airing in some locations, you know, there was a time that all the radio programs aired beginning at 2 p.m. And now it's 7 a.m., so everything's got to be done the afternoon before, no later than like by 6 or 7 p.m., because there's still distribution to get out for podcasts and the radio stations that have got to be prepared to have them. And so I work on a pretty harsh deadline. And I try to be at least a day, sometimes because of what I've been going through, even 2 days ahead. So tomorrow when we gather, we will talk about whatever it was you've already seen that I haven't even seen yet in what should be a highly entertaining debate. My wife had to stop by the grocery store the other day, and she bought home some popcorn. So I, you know, the theater type. So this is going to be, I guess, for us last night, as you're hearing it now, we'll be prepared taking notes And we'll see how it plays out. I'll just throw in my two cents. It's going to be... I'll just wait till tomorrow. Let's leave that alone. You know, one of the things, as I was mentioning before, that has changed in our world. By the way, saw this a couple of... You know, every time I think I've seen weird stories, they just keep getting weirder and weirder and weirder. A man who identifies as a transgender was captured on video, ready for this, attempting to beat a Trump supporter with a wooden plank. I kid you not. It happened at the New England for Trump store, an actual store, in Warwick, Rhode Island. And the attacker, wearing his purple pride shirt, also damaged the sign in front of the store, just vandalized it. And then I would play the video, but if I was to edit out all the bad words that this teacher was using, by the way, he's a middle school teacher. This freak is a middle school teacher. Let me say it again. This violent freak with a wood plank, transgender weirdo wearing a pride shirt, is a middle school teacher. Do you think our schools are screwed up by screwed up people? You better believe it. When are you going to figure out? I said it before. Education has been stolen, co-opted, and invaded and infected like a cancer by the extreme God-hating left. Period. The brain syphilis ruined left from hanging around doing things they shouldn't be doing. Like this freak. Why is he a middle school teacher? Oh, we have to be more understanding. Like I say, I would play the about 45-second video, but all you'd be hearing is beep, 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 because every other word would have to be beep, 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 beep. Middle school teacher, yeah, this is the best we can find to teach our, 11, 12, and 13-year-olds. Oh, there's no grooming going on in that school, Bob. Don't. Make me laugh. I don't think 23 years ago, on 9/11, 2001, I don't think that morning anybody getting ready to go to school or sending their kids off to school in, whether it be Sarasota, Florida, or Saratoga, New York, or doesn't matter, somewhere in California, nobody was worrying about men pretending to be women, wearing rainbow shirts to teach your middle school child. That wasn't on the radar screen yet. But ever since 9/11 and the globalists have had their way, just ripping out the foundations of all that is decent in this world, they've been working on it for hundreds of years. With technology and a little help from the uniparty government, starting with George W. Bush, Dick Cheney. We've been on our way ever since. Why do you think, have you ever noticed how chummy the Clintons, the Bushes, and the Obamas are with each other? They get along great. And now we find out that people like George W. Bush, they voted for Hillary Clinton and they're going to vote for Kamala Harris. What a bunch of liars and frauds. But see, they've been co-opting the language. They've been taking over slowly. I mean, here's a little explanation. The left uses inaccurate and deceptive words, and that's being nice to put it that way, when all they're really doing is lying. And without even seeing last night's debate, I'm sure there was a lot of that going on with Kamala. Kamala Harris, Kamala the liar, her pants are on fire, her pantsuit, whatever. The left is trying to convince you and I of what we know isn't true. And there's some words out there. For example, they use the word misinformation, which, the correct definition is false or inaccurate information designed to mislead or deceive. I get it. But the left will tell you that Misinformation is anything that disagrees with their position on any topic. Right or wrong plays no part in the definition. If what is written opposes their agenda in any way, it is immediately branded as disinformation, and a Facebook factless fact checker kicks in and tells you it's wrong even when it isn't. And this results in a loss of free speech, being deplatformed, and being minimized. The term woke is a past tense of the word wake. I'm waking up. Now I'm woke. Or I'm awakened. And to understand this a little bit better, having supposed alertness to racial prejudice and discrimination and an awareness of social inequities like injustice and sexism and denial of LGBTQ, S2, whatever, the list is getting so long, it triggers quota programs such as DEI or DIE, as I call it, and a contamination of minds with children. You know, we understand being woke is to adopt all these sickening principles that have no basis in reality that the left is pushing upon us. Climate change. Now, see, that term came out, the last 15 years in particular. Prior to that, it was global warming. That's all we ever heard out of Al Gore. Global warming. The world is getting hotter. It's going to be a big ball of fire. Before that, it was global cooling. In my desk drawer, I keep I'm not going to read it today. I've got the list of the 100 predictions that should have happened by several years ago that have been made over the past 50 years. All of them have one thing in common. They never happened. And yet these clowns want me to believe that somehow they know what it's going to be like in 2054 when I turn 100. If they know what the weather's going to be in 30 years because of man-made climate change. I will be bold enough to tell you climate change, as they try to tell you, doesn't exist. We have measurements that begin around 1850, and there are not many of them to begin with, and not many on a global basis. You got to get into 1880 and 1900 before you begin to even see real thermometer and records from around the globe. So the left wants you to think that 120 years of data on a world, depending upon your perspective, could be hundreds of thousands or even millions or billions of years of age, that somehow 120 years of data is sufficient. If you look at things carefully, my grandparents, they were around a long time. And they can remember when places like Long Island, New York, were a lot hotter in the 1930s. They can remember when there were more hurricanes than there are today. And so they want us to believe that somehow they can predict climate change going out another 100 years from this tiny amount of data that is just insufficient to draw any kind of conclusion. You know, they've stolen the word progressive. Progressive, something happening or developing gradually in stages, proceeding one step at a time. But the left, they believe that jumping into everything, especially mutilating children and men in women's sports, that's progress. No, it's not. It's regression. Demonic regression. Mostly peaceful. Remember that from the George Floyd riots? We heard that one. The MSNBC or CNN reporters standing in front of a police car on fire, building on fire, people screaming and throwing stuff in a mostly peaceful demonstration. These people, they believe their own lies. They're delusional. Sanctuary city. Well, there was a time that'd be a safe harbor for people under persecution. Now it's a place for people that are breaking the law. It's a badge of honor to hide criminals that rob, steal, rape, destroy, and never let them get deported. Insurrection, which is a uprising against the government. But now it's any term. It's a term used to describe any protest by any conservative, even those that are obviously nonviolent, because they want to control you. They have co-opted our schools. They started with the colleges and universities and worked their way back into high schools and now middle schools. That's why you have that freaky guy wearing his purple and rainbow trans guy. He's a man pretending he's a female, but boy, he sounds like a male. And he's all mad at you because you're not, you know, you're not into trans and you're a hateful Republican and you love Trump. And he's ripping up the sign and threatening people with a wooden plank. And he's a middle school teacher. Do you think we have problems or not? This is the world in which we live. And lastly, for today, what are Judge Juan Merchan and daughter hiding from the American public? They delayed the sentencing, and I think I know why. Because that would force everything to an appeals court, and that entire moniker of he's a convicted felon could vanish into thin air in a matter of days. They can't afford that. With like under 60 days to the election, they want that moniker to stick, even though it's a lie and it's a fraud. Ask somebody on the left, what was the crime? Hush money. It's not a crime. Not in New York, not anywhere. It's called a non-disclosure agreement. Anybody can enter one. And this person willingly did. And then when a bill came in after Trump was in office as the president, not doing anything day to day with his corporation anymore, somebody in an office, in a Trump office, got a bill from Cohen, the lawyer, for legal expenses. So what did the person write on the check? Legal expenses. What happened? That's where all 34 charges emanate from. Well, I was really trying to steal an election or some kind of nonsense. Look, every real legal expert will tell you that verdict will be overturned, probably by a New York State court. Yeah, even in New York State. Right now, like I say, this is a busy week. I'll be traveling this weekend and plus my church. It's the first time I haven't had immunotherapy, so I'm going to be feeling a whole lot better. But my friend Frank Silvato has agreed to help out a little bit this week with a couple of short segments to, you know, give me some time to get some other work done. And Frank does his own podcast called Underground USA. And I enjoy listening to Frank's material when I have the opportunity. And I'm thankful that you're going to enjoy this segment. And once again, he kind of digs right into it. So, Frank, the microphone is yours.
No fear, no political correctness, and no wokeism. You're listening to Underground USA.
Thanks for downloading, listening, and sharing. My name is Frank Salvato, and you're spending a few moments in Underground USA. Well, the Harris Walz campaign finally published a page on its website outlining its policies. Of course, it's interesting that they unveiled it less than 48 hours before the debate, so the mainstream media and social media platforms didn't have time to dissect it. Not that the mainstream media complex would say anything other than Kamala Marxism is awesome, but I digress. After reading the attempt at refined word salad, it became apparent that the Harris-Walz campaign, led by Obamaite David Plouffe, is really grasping at straws. They offer nothing but empty promises, which their past performance confirms they won't fulfill. Aside from the Harris campaign's disingenuous attempt to say Project 2025 is a Trump idea, it belongs to the Heritage Foundation, which has no affiliation with the Trump campaign. Not that a lot of what's in it isn't bad. Aside from that, half of the crap on the Harris-Walz policy page is unattainable in its Marxism. The other half she could have enacted already, but didn't. And 100% of it is hollow rhetoric, refined and prettied up word salad, It's all lipstick on a pig. Both sides need to be judged by their actions in office, because that's how all of us are judged in our job performances. That is, unless you get favorable performance reviews like Kamala Harris did in coming up the ladder. Knee pads. Harris has done zero except to claim Trump was to blame when the Biden-Harris administration agenda went south. The economy? Trump's fault. War in the Middle East and Ukraine? Trump's fault. A failed disengagement in Afghanistan that cost 13 American lives? Trump's fault. Higher taxes on the middle class? Trump's fault. Exploding costs in the housing and automobile markets, grocery bills through the stratosphere? Trump, Trump, and Trump. Hell, I'm stunned she hasn't blamed Biden's cognitive decline on Trump. Conversely, under Trump, during his administration, the economy was infinitely better. Homeownership was up across all demographics, and BlackRock and Berkshire Hathaway weren't buying up all the homes. New business startups were up across all demographics. The world was more at peace than at any time since 2000, and the Trump administration had affected the Abraham Accords. NATO members started paying their delinquent dues. Real tax cuts for the middle class were enacted. The border was secure, and El Salvadoran and Venezuelan gangs weren't taking over apartment complexes at gunpoint in cities across the country. And according to the CDC, cases of diagnosed depression were 2.7% lower among females and 1.8% lower among males. By the way, depression doesn't rise when the country is in a state of bliss. And lastly, the fantasy narrative of the Harris-Walz campaign that millionaires and billionaires belong in Trump's pocket is just that, fantasy. It's complete bullshit. An elementary examination of which campaign is receiving deep state K Street dark money proves beyond any doubt that Democrats have fundamentally transformed from the party of the little guy, the everyman, to the party of the elite, abandoning everything the Democrat Party stood for just 30 years ago. As Robert F. Kennedy and Tulsi Gabbard have repeatedly said, the Democrat Party has shifted away from its traditional focus on working class issues and become beholden to megacorporation special interests, losing touch with its roots. Meanwhile, the GOP has evolved back to its roots of representing policies that serve and protect the everyman, just like during its genesis. So when we look through the Roquefort dressing to the lettuce of the Harris-Walz bullet points of bullshit, the fact remains her campaign platform, her stated policies, and in fact the whole of her candidacy is completely devoid of substance. It's like a Twizzler, a lot to chew on, but completely hollow. Only the terminally inane would buy into the crap that Harris's handlers are trying to pass off as policy. My name is Frank Salvato, and you can read all of my articles and listen to the podcasts at undergroundusa.com. Now back to Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
You're listening to Underground USA.
I want to thank Frank for sharing that with us today. And Frank, and along with people like Jim Calhoun, have been such a blessing and such a great help, especially these past months between surgery and all that I've been through, to give me a little time back to take care of some other things that need to be well cared for. And so my appreciation to them. Tomorrow, as I said, we'll talk about the debate you heard last night. I'll have a chance to have heard it, think about it, produce something, and share my thoughts with you. Friday's program, I've got something I want to share that I think is absolutely vital. If you even barely consider yourself to be a follower of Christ, you need to hear this. I think there are a lot of people living in a deceived mindset when it comes to being a Christian that, oh, I guess if I live a good life or I attend a church occasionally. No, it doesn't work that way. And you need to hear what I have to share on Friday. And I pray that that message gets through. We try to deal with several things on this program. Number one, yeah, the issues of the day. And it can infuriate you. I mean, it does me. It's a righteous indignation. It's a biblically righteous indignation. When you see perverted people messing with your children, yeah, you got to call it out. Call sin for what it is. I'm tired of this silly concept that Christians are just mealy-mouthed people that love your sin. No, that we do not have to. So we talk about the important stuff. Do you believe in our mission and ministry? If you do, need to hear from you, visit our website, truth2ponder.com, truth2ponder.com. We use Give, Send, Go for online support, and I encourage you to consider it, or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia 24319, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia 24319. And we'll see you tomorrow.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.
This is Ancient Word Radio.